Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Full Press Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Berenger. I'm joined by Russ Cohen, one of our writers here on Full Press Hockey. He also covers the Philadelphia Flyers for Philadelphia Hockey Now, and you can check him out, Sportsology, on Twitter. Russ, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good. Exciting time of the year. You know, I always get geared up for the draft and all that other stuff.
Yeah, draft right around the corner. Obviously, Stanley Cup playoffs are right around the corner.
Yep.
Trade deadlines just passed us, and the big news happened on last Friday. Week after the trade deadline, the Philadelphia Flyers making some moves. They remove Chuck Fletcher as the president of hockey operations and general manager, and in his interim, GM Danny Briere. Your first thoughts when it happened?
Well, I wasn't surprised that Briere was the guy. We all kind of knew that, but I was surprised they used the interim tag, and that's going to end up being a key thing here. So not surprised that Chuck got removed as GM. We all thought maybe there was a chance he was going to get bumped upstairs. And I think that chance existed until the trade deadline. And I think that was like the last straw for everything else that's gone on. Bad trades, not great drafting, developing, a lot of different things. So I think he's, you know, he took the ultimate hit for that. And I think there's been some, you know, a little bit of optimism here for sure. But fans are still, you know, like skeptical, and they have a right to be. And again, until he doesn't have that interim on the tag, on his, you know, title, when guys start shaking free in a couple months, GMs, we'll see. We'll see how it all works out.
Yeah, I mean, we know Fletcher's history is with the team for about 5 years, and then beforehand with the Minnesota Wild. You know, for those that have not got caught up on the timeline of events for Fletcher and his downfall with the Flyers, just give us a quick, you know, brief timeline of everything. And as you said, the trade deadline seemed to be the last straw.
Yeah, so it you know, he had good luck with the Flyers in the bubble, and you saw some great hockey out of Carter Hart. And then the next year, Matt Niskanen left, and that Ivan Provorov was kind of like lost without him. And that caused problems. So then you got the Ryan Ellis deal, which has turned out to be horrific. And he's been an LTIR guy most of the time. Extensions, too long of, you know, they brought in Kevin Hayes during the AV era there as well, which they've really not gotten a lot out of Kevin Hayes. And so that at $7 million a year is an issue. You know, JVR up and down for his whole existence. They didn't get anything for him at the deadline. That wasn't his contract, but he inherited that one. He signed Sanheim to a long-term deal, and he has not played well under Torts. He did it, you know, and that was risky at the time to do that. Signed Ristolainen to a long-term deal before he even had Torts. Again, how you know that's going to fit in. He's done okay, but again, they have too many long-term deals, and they're going to have to lose one. I know there's going to be discussion about trading Carter Hart, but that's not really going to help the cap. Carter Hart doesn't make much money. You might get some assets that you want, but they need to dig out of the cap part first. Like that's their biggest issue. They still need to look at drafting and development. They could tell me it's good, and I could point out plenty of mistakes. So I'm not sold on that either.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody can point to the Nolan Patrick pick.
But that's not his regime.
No, that was not Fletcher's regime. Absolutely not. No, I agree with that. You know, the big thing, obviously, was JVR at the deadline. And even in the summer, I mean, I know there was a lot of talk in the summer about Johnny Gaudreau wanting to sign in Philadelphia. And I know there were reports, again, true or not, about the Coyotes wanting to play broker and asking for a first-round draft pick to take JVR off their hands, and the Flyers didn't do it. I mean, it seemed that it was a good fit for Gaudreau to go there. I mean, right now, looking back, maybe not so good, but you want a guy there, and he doesn't make the move. It just seems like he was looking ahead instead of looking at present.
You know, I understand even when you want to rebuild that you know, might caution at bringing a guy in like Gaudreau for a lot of money, but he's a proven guy in this league, and you're not going to rebuild for like 7 years. So I felt like they still should have signed him because they can't draft anybody like him. There's nobody like him in their system. They're never, maybe there will be in the next couple of years. We don't know who they're going to get in this draft, but it's a once in a 5 year kind of guy. So they should have signed him, but they didn't because they were on this 25 and younger kick, which is fine, except they're the 12th youngest team in the league, so they haven't really accomplished that yet either. They're kind of like in midstream on a lot of these things. So I wouldn't have given up the first to get rid of JVR either. They could have bought him out. They never bought him out. They could have traded him at the draft for anything, and somebody would have given him probably like a seventh. I don't think they pushed hard at the draft. I don't know that for sure, but I'm just guessing. And then, you know, early in the season is probably when they should have traded him because he had some value then when he was playing well. Then his play dipped as usual, and all that value went away because, you know, even though it was funny, even though the Flyers were willing to retain, Kevin Allen had said Detroit was willing to take the whole contract. But the feeling was that the price was too high. And so the feeling was that Fletcher was asking for multiple picks and Detroit wanted no part of that. That's, I kind of heard that. I don't know that that was true or not, but it is at least plausible because it's a reason why maybe Yzerman backed out of it because he did have interest. So all those things, you put all those things together. And right now you've got a team that's in that mushy middle, which is a bad place to be in the NHL.
Oh, absolutely. You don't want to be in that what, like 17, 18 range. If you're in the standing, that's not a great place. And like you said, they had success in the bubble. I mean, they were the hottest team before COVID stopped the season and then you had to restart. And it seems like they've never got back on track. Obviously they're going to let JVR's contract run out and may not get anything for him.
They're not getting anything. Nobody's going to trade draft rights for him.
No. So that's a situation, but they do have other players on that roster that teams are sniffing at. And I was surprised Kevin Hayes wasn't got moved at the deadline. Maybe just asking too much.
It's three more years at over seven. And right now he's playing third line center. I know if you look at his numbers, he's got points, but there's some hollow points there. And there's not like great play every night. Definitely not. So, and he and Torts aren't seeing eye to eye. So teams kind of know this. And so if the Flyers are really going to be able to move Kevin Hayes, they're going to have to take back a bad contract. It's not like you're going to trade Kevin Hayes and get a 25-year-old guy of your choice. It's not going to happen. So that's a slippery slope right there. And so I think there's a chance he gets traded in the offseason, but, you know, I would put it at 25%.
Yeah, low percentage. What about a guy like Provorov? Are they going to move him out?
I don't think they're going to move him out. I think he wants to stay right now. Like, long term, I think he wants to go somewhere else. But right now, I do think he's committed. And even though I don't agree with what he did with Pride Night, his play has been really good. And he's still the best conditioned athlete on the team. And I understand you could get something for him. But the problem is, if you're trying to develop guys and you don't want to be in the basement, which is something they're saying they don't want to be, you drop Provorov out, I don't know who you're getting to put in that spot. And he might only be the 12th, 13th, 14th best number one guy in the league, but you still don't have a replacement. And that's the biggest problem here. You can't put Cam York in there. You can't really put Ristolainen in there. There's really nobody on the market. I mean, they can put those guys in there, don't get me wrong, but it's going to be potentially disastrous or really, really bumpy. And like, if you want guys like York to develop, and let's say Ronnie Adderd were to come up next year at some point, you got to have some defenseman on the roster that help these guys. And so I wouldn't trade him. I can't say he's safe, but I wouldn't trade him.
And then obviously, you know, injuries have played a big part in like the Flyers over the last couple of years, especially Cam Atkinson. I mean, it feels like he's never on the ice for Philadelphia, but I mean, the signing at the time seemed pretty good. I mean, he is a consistent player.
It was good for a little while, sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's a consistent player, but again, he can't stay healthy.
No. And that has been his problem in his career, and I can't tell you he's going to be healthy next year either. I can't. But the problem is with him, and look, you know, he's going to be on the ice, Atkinson. He's getting there, and so is Sean Couturier. I don't know. What, are they going to play two games this year, if anything? I'm not sure they're even playing this year. So you have that. And then even next year, I don't know. Is Couturier a number one center after, you know, this many back surgeries? I don't know. So I think that contract is immovable. And, you know, I think Atkinson may have another year. And so for next year, like next year's his other year. So he has to do something by the deadline to be able to trade him. And I don't know if that's going to happen either.
Yeah, I mean, the Flyers definitely have a project on their hand. But, I mean, I think they have a great guy in Danny Briere. I mean, he seems, you know, coming off the press conference yesterday, what a bold move on daylight savings to have an early press conference in the morning.
Bold move, or are you trying to keep some of the media away too? There's a strategy with that.
I didn't think about that, actually. That's actually a smart move on his part. But, you know, it seems very soft-spoken, calm, sense of direction finally from Philly, it seemed. Just from an outsider point of view, anyway.
Yeah, he's been there a little over a year. I think he's a smart guy. He certainly doesn't have experience like those other GMs I had mentioned. So they'll see what he can do in a short period of time. He's going to have to be on the same page with John Tortorella, which early on it seems like he is. But again, John Tortorella is a coach that knows that this guy is an interim. Like, you know, let's see if he's actually going to be here in 2 months. Like that, you know, like he might be there, but he could be there in another position too. I think that's possibly part of the interim. So with that going forward, you know, he could sign college free agents. Maybe he'll give them some more direction at the draft, but if they're going to keep the same people at the draft, I would say they could do better, at least by adding and subtracting some, but I don't know if they're going to do that. So again, right now it's still up in the air, and honestly, it's going to be up in the air until he loses that interim. That's just the nature of an interim tag.
Yeah. And then I know Dave Scott was saying they're going to hire actually a president of hockey ops. And it seems like teams around the league are going that way now. And I think it makes sense.
Sure. And, you know, do we know Dave Scott will be here after this year? We don't. There's somebody else next to him now, too, that they just hired. Corporate shakeups happen all the time. Right. And they happen when you least expect them. So right now, this all sounds good as maybe things that are going forward, but it could change. And it could change quickly. And so I'm prepared for both, honestly.
Yeah. And what about the other guys in the front office? Do you think any more front office changes, like the Holmgrens and the Bobby Clarks, could they be removed? Or are they just going to stay on as advisors?
I don't know. I mean, Briere had a chance to speak about that. And he gave him a pat on the back. So I really don't know how that's going to go. Maybe whoever they get in as president will end up doing that. I don't know. But right now, I can't tell you that it's going to be any different until I actually see it.
Yeah. The one thing I will say that I am impressed with the Flyers this year is their compete and their competitiveness. Mm-hmm. And John Tortorella, I mean, you can agree, disagree with the hiring. You know this team was going to be harder to play against each night.
Sure. I mean, that was a given. But there's things he's done. I think he's not given enough opportunity to a lot of the young guys. He's kept guys like Justin Braun and Nick Seeler and these guys, you know, in the lineup, blocking some spots maybe from younger players. And I know the thought is, well, if you're rebuilding, he's going to put all the young players in. It's like, he's going to put some in, but this is still John Tortorella and he'll take guys on 1 year deals that he likes. He likes Cam York because Cam York was going to make it to the NHL anyhow, right? He likes Noah Cates, but Noah Cates was going to make it to the NHL anyhow. So I'm still waiting to see what John's willing to develop or not. You know, they are harder to play against, but they've had the worst power play in the league all year. That's not improved. So there's still issues with the coaching staff too.
Yeah. And defensively, I think they got to get a little better. They got to get better in front of Carter Hart, because I know when Carter Hart's at his best, the defense in front of him is really, really good.
Yeah. You just have to basically protect the goal crease a little. He's going to do the rest, but they've let a lot of guys in his kitchen way too much this year, and especially the fast teams get behind their defense. And, you know, we've seen that against the Devils and other teams. And so that's been a real problem with Hart. And then, of course, you know, you have the whole Carter Hart situation in the sense that they have to find out what he wants to do. And they also have to wait and kind of hear what Hockey Canada is going to do. That still hasn't ended either. So there's some complications there with Carter Hart. I know everybody's like, well, trade him, see what you can get. Well, while that's hanging over him, no, I don't think a team's going to want him. I mean, Gianna Hahn pointed that out when we did Off the Post a couple days ago. So, and I think she's right. So I think there's that complication. And then if he wants to stay, yeah, I think you probably should build the team around him, because again, Sam Ersson's a nice goalie. I've watched him all along. I think he could be a 1B. I don't look at him as a 1A. Doesn't mean he can't be, but it means it could be 2-3 years away. And yes, maybe that aligns with what they're expecting from this rebuild slash retool, because it is being called a rebuild, but they have so many bad contracts. They're not going to be able to strip it down. And that's why Danny said there's no fire sale here, because he can't do a fire sale. They don't have the ability to do it. So I think with Ersan, you have to just look and see what's going to happen with him. But right now, the way I look at him, I think he's a 1B. I wouldn't trade Carter Hart simply because I have Sam Ersan in my system. Because anybody who you draft as a goalie, even if it were this year, it's going to take 4 or 5 years. And anybody you've got in their system right now still could take 2 or 3 to see what they really are. And Hart is not an old guy. He could live through this whole rebuild and be fine. But that's if he wants to.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Flyers finally have a goaltender, as right. everybody likes to say. Carter Hart's been great. And I think, like you said, with the whole investigation, because I know the Devils still have to deal with their own investigation with McLeod. Correct. I mean, he was part of that Hockey Canada team too. So, I mean, but it's nice to see, you know, look, the Flyers, they're definitely competitive. And, you know, eventually, I think if they follow the route of some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference, the Devils, Sabres, Sens, they're going to be competitive, you know, if they hit the draft picks and develop.
Right. But those are the truly young teams. See, like when the Flyers are saying they've been getting 25 and under. Yeah, but they're still 12th. The Devils are like the fourth youngest team, and the Sabres are the youngest. Them or Columbus, depending on who's on the roster, that, you know, on a particular day. But those teams are already swinging on the upside. It's going to take a while for the Flyers to swing on the upside. That's the issue here. So that's going to be the battle for John Tortorella and the front office. It's going to be a battle.
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned it earlier, and I didn't follow up then, but the loss of Matt Niskanen to this defense, I mean, when he retired, that shook news throughout the hockey world. And he was playing great hockey for them.
He was. It was a big loss. And, you know, fans got tired of hearing about it from Chuck Fletcher's mouth. And I get it, because, again, you got to move on. Like, you can't harp on that. And they did harp on that a little bit too long. And that was another thing that Fletcher did. And, you know, without any real results for replacing them.
Yeah. But where do you see them ending up drafting wise? You see top 5 for them? Do you think they can pull it off and get in?
I think 8. I think they're going to end up going 7 or 8.
Yeah.
8 just seems like the number.
Yeah. So what position do you think they draft at 8?
Well, you know, it's funny. Last year, as good as Cutter Gauthier is, and I think he's a terrific player, on the Locked On Flyers show that I do, I said, hey, and even on Sportsology.com, I put that David Juracek was a better fit for them. And a better fit because if you think about it, then they could have gotten rid of Provorov, because then you do have a future number one. He's already one of the best defenders in the AHL, and he'll probably be up next year. He covers half the ice. He gives you offense. He's got size and speed. But they went with Gauthier because they were looking for a scorer. Had they, you know, again, part of the failing of this regime was, you know, not getting that scorer early on. I mean, you know, you had it with Montreal, and you basically blew that. And so that's a problem with Cole Caulfield, right? And so, you know, you look at all that and you say, all right, so Gauthier is a good pick. That's fine. This year, the problem is if they want to draft defense, by the time they go at 8, I don't think there's anybody they can get that will be a top pairing defender. So I wouldn't recommend getting defense at all. I think they're going to have to draft for position. I think because the center position has all of a sudden become weak again, I think you have to kind of hope that, you know, if Will Smith were to drop, that's great. I think there's some other good choices there too. And I haven't really done my mock yet for Full Press, but there's about 3 guys. I mean, look, guys like Carlson and stuff, they're not going to be there. No. I mean, they're long gone. I like a lot of the guys at the NTDP here this year. I do. And I'll give you the one that if I'm them and I'm in that spot, boy, I always struggle because right now we're still like, there's a lot of runway left in the season, but I go Oliver Moore. Maybe I really like him. He's got a lot of speed. He good puck handler. He could score or be the assist guy, but he's got elite speed. And this team is not fast enough. You see that when they play the Devils, and I saw that just when I was in Newark a couple weeks ago. So Oliver Moore would be a good one. Could they go with Dvorsky? Maybe. I haven't really fully decided how this is all going to shake out yet. And eventually, I'll do the mock for for full press. It's the only one I do. I'm not a huge mock draft guy, as you know, but I'll do one.
Nice. No, those are good. Those are some good picks, and we can't wait to see the mock draft on Full Press Hockey when you finally release it. Obviously, the draft's at end of June, and the Stanley Cup playoffs
it'll be like
coming.
April-ish.
Nice. Yeah. Before we let you get out of here, just thoughts on the season thus far, and who you think might sneak in at the wild card positions in each conference.
Yeah, in the East, I think the Penguins are safe. They're sort of the masters of the loser point here. So I think they're pretty good. You know, in the West, I think it might be the way it is. I'm not sure it's changing. Calgary has not really impressed me enough. You know, the other day I looked it up. There were $9 tickets at home for Calgary. I know it's a bigger place, but still, like that, you know, $9 tickets before game time in Canada, that's kind of rough. So I still think Colorado is dangerous because they're getting their guys back now and they've gotten through the season and they're going to make the playoffs and they're still the champs. And, you know, Vegas is a good team, but I don't believe in Jonathan Quick to get to the cup. I do not. And so I don't think that's now maybe they'll switch back to Logan Thompson. It's possible. We'll see how that all shakes out. I still think the winner probably comes out of the East, but it's tough. Like the Devils right now, I think if they get past the Rangers, they can get on a roll. I think that is a tough matchup. I know every matchup is tough, but like I said on another show today, that may be their toughest matchup, though, just because it's, you know, you have that natural rivalry. Whether you like it or not, there'll be a ton of Ranger fans in Newark, and that's a factor. The teams know each other really well, the way they battle against each other. The Rangers, maybe they have an edge in goal, and the Devils have an edge, you know, with speed, I think. It would be a tough series, and I think that's one where if they could get past that, sure, then I think Carolina, I still think, could be the best, but I don't know what's going to happen in net with them. Like, it's just that's starting to worry me a little bit more than when I picked them to go to the conference final early in the season. And Boston looks like unbelievable. You're going to have to get past them. They're going to get to the conference final. I don't think they're getting upset. So I can't even tell you who's coming out of the East yet. I really need to see a couple more weeks of hockey here for that because it's just such a buzzsaw. It reminds me of the old Patrick division, really.
Oh, the old Patrick division was a machine. I mean, it was a gauntlet. And now the Eastern Conference this year feels like a gauntlet. And I agree with you. I think the Devils' toughest matchup is the Rangers because you get hyped. You go all the way. You just try to beat your rival and you may not be ready for the next round. And we saw that in 2012 when they played the LA Kings. They were just not ready to go emotionally. So it's going to be I can't wait for the rest of the stretch run for this because every game feels like a playing game right now.
Yeah, it does. I mean, look, the season's great. You're not going to hear me say anything bad about this season. I'm really enjoying it. And I'm, 50% of the time I'm working on the draft and 50% of the time, I'm working on NHL stuff. So I love it. And I do think this is one of the more lively seasons. And last year, I mean, everything was sewn up early. At least it's not the case this year. And you could at least still see different things happening with clubs. Like, look, I don't think Pittsburgh Penguins, I don't think they're getting to the Stanley Cup. But if they got on a roll, they could go a couple rounds and they could really put a scare into teams. So, again, could they be the one that upsets either, Boston or Carolina? They might.
Yeah, they could. I mean, what about the Islanders?
Islanders are in it. I think Florida, though, I looked at their home schedule a couple of days ago. This is like going into last week. They had 9 home games. They had the most home games. And I think that could end up giving them the edge in the end. It'll go down to the wire and the Islanders are right there. But Florida has picked it up. Bob has picked it up. Maybe because Bob knows he's the only goalie there now, that maybe that's a factor. It could be. And so for whatever reason, Florida has gotten hot now. They're 4-1-1. They're right in it too. And I think they have a game in hand on the Islanders. So that's going to be tight, man. And again, it could come down to those home games that they have because they're a good home team.
Yeah, they're a very good home team. And yeah, like you said, I can't wait for the rest of the stretch run. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and I hope Spencer Knight comes back regular season. I'm not trying to say that he's out of it or whatever, but I'm just saying Bob, for whatever reason, when he's not being pushed by the backup, does better. I've seen it in Philly.
Yeah, and you saw it in Columbus too. When he's the man, he can take a team on a run. Yeah. We saw it in Columbus.
When he looks over his shoulder, he's not as good.
yeah, now Florida right in position. They had a tough loss to Winnipeg, all right, but Winnipeg's battling in the Western Conference.
Yeah, listen, Connor Hellebuck, I love Connor Hellebuck because, and I do think they're a goalie-dependent team at this point, but Connor Hellebuck is a guy that he thinks he should win the Vezina every year. Like 2 years ago, that's exactly what he said. He goes, I expect to, because they said, well, what are you hoping for next year? He goes, I expect to win the Vezina next year. And he should. The way he plays, he should expect to win it every year.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw him personally in the Rangers when Winnipeg was in town. Man, he stole that game for Winnipeg on a back-to-back. He really did, and they're stepping up right now, and the rest of the season is going to be really, really fun.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be great. I'm excited. I'm excited to write about it, talk about it, and do everything that I do.
Absolutely. Russ, thank you so much for coming on the Full Press NHL podcast today.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Hey, all right. You can find this podcast along with all the podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jim Berninger. It's been Russ Cohen. Thank you, and have a great day.